The following podcast is recorded and produced by the Podcast Precinct in affiliation with the network at bicbp-radio.com. The Podcast Precinct. Consistency, creativity, culture.
Architect, doctor, maybe an actress, but nothing comes easy. It takes much practice.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Eat Sleep List, your one-stop shop for everything list making here on the network, bicbp-radio.com. I am Brian Finch, and with me, as always, my good buddy, wonderful companion in this podcasting world, Daniel Torres. What up, dude?
What up, dude? It's great to see you. I see behind you that we have some new Bills memorabilia displayed. So I'm glad that we're getting the mojo going to start the week. I feel like it needs to happen. Just all the good karma needs to come our way.
I think that we can say karma is fully on our side when the host city for the Super Bowl, New Orleans, currently is buried in several inches of snow.
It's a sign, dude.
Yeah,
this
dude.
Is it. This is the year.
So hell / New Orleans has frozen over, which must mean that the Bills are going to beat the Kansas City refs and go on to the Super Bowl.
Yes, I pray with all my heart and all my might. But we're here. We're doing good. We're surviving the cold, as we were talking about off top of the show, because, of course, Buffalo, New York is horrifying this time of year sometimes. But we are staying warm in conversation and in spirit, so to speak.
Yes. One way to escape the cold is to just go in and hide. And that's what we do here in Buffalo. And you know what? You Southern listeners who want to judge us, you do the same thing when it's hot.
Yeah, 100%.
So you already clicked on the episode today, so you know what we're doing. So it's kind of almost a moot point to bring it up, but at the same time, it feels not weird not to. So here we are, ready to list our choices for if we had a different career path, career choice in life. And I don't know, we didn't discuss exactly which way we were leaning, but I'll tell you right now, a lot of my choices would mean that I would be a much different person with a much different set of skills and attributes.
Yeah, 100%. This was a fun list to do because I had to try and envision myself as all these things and like how my personality would change and how my brain would need to be wired in order to do that job effectively and correctly. And I kind of got some new Dan personas out of this. I feel like Butters, the character from South Park, how he always has his different personas of like, oh, he's Professor Chaos. And now he's, you know, he's construction worker Butters, or he's pilot Butters, or things like that. These are going to be all my different action figure titles, so to speak.
Yeah, that's. It's fun to think of just where your life would be differently. And this one's a little lighter than maybe some other topics we'll get into down the road. And it was one, too, like where I was like, oh, well, it's my turn to choose. And I really need to give Dan a whole lot of choice. Let's do something that doesn't require too much research. I'd be like, Dan, let's do our favorite disasters of all time. And no, like I do want to do that. That is a list I want to do of all time of just disaster stories. I'm obsessed with them. And that would be something that we would all want a little time to prepare ourselves. So no, we're going to keep it real light. I'm very interested in your choices and how they compare to mine. So what do you say, my friend? You ready to make a list?
Let's do it, my friend.
All right, let's kick it off with your number 10.
My number 10, I'm putting at the bottom because I am this in a way, but I want the full training behind it, so to speak. I want to be a classroom teacher for my number 10. I am blessed to teach. I teach acting, and I teach a lot of other different like basic theater skill classes every now and then. But I always looked up to my teachers in grade school and, you know, of course, in high school and college, and at every level, I can name someone who has influenced me in some way. That's a list we've also done in the past, too. Me and Matt combined about teachers that we loved and had good influence on us in the past. But yeah, a good teacher can change a child's life. And I just love the culture of a classroom and building that relationship from September to June. If you're in the lower grades. So teacher, my number 10.
Very fun choice. Yeah. And then your personality, your demeanor, I totally get it. You know, that your current version of yourself would not be changed too drastically, I think, if you were an in-room educator.
I agree. Yeah, it would probably be the most similar to how I am.
Yeah. Love it, dude.
Thank you. Appreciate it. What is your number 10?
My number 10 is something that I dabble in because of being a podcaster, and I was running rather diligently for a while my own social media stuff. I have stopped doing that because it didn't make much of a difference as far as listenership went, and it's a lot of work to keep up on it, but I still think the career is very fun, and it's a fun way and a modern way of expressing yourself. And get, like, if you were to get it paid by someone to do this, it would be fun to like get to know them. But being a graphic designer is something that I always thought would be a really cool job to have. You know, like when a person hires you to do graphic design for their website or whatever, and you get to know the product and what they do and what they're about and stuff, like, that's cool. Cause like, you know, I'm a people person. I like talking to people, and I like to get to know people. So add that in with being able to drop some cool art and stuff, man. I think graphic designer would be totally fun.
Yeah, I think you'd be good at that, too. You'd have a good eye for a lot of those things. I always, this day and age, can appreciate really good graphics when it comes to things. WWE uses a ton of them, obviously, in their work. And so do so many other digital outlets these days.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very important trade.
I agree. Very good. I love that.
I think we might move right along in this. We'll see. Moving on to number 9.
I do agree. This may be a quick one tonight, which, you know, give the ears a break once in a while, because their episodes will go on for 3 hours for two. My number 9, I'm going to go with a journalist here at number 9. I've always respected really good journalism, people who go out of their way to ask hard questions to people, to cover topics in depth, to expose certain things, to get correct opinions out there, or any type of opinion out there. It's a very interesting job, in my opinion. And I respect all the journalists this day and age who go out on a limb and do something and fight for something they believe in and like report based on facts and not just based on opinion in a lot of ways. Documentary filmmakers are like this too. This kind of goes hand in hand with that. I would love to be like a really good documentary filmmaker and cover events in depth and try and uncover some things that haven't been discovered before, which, you know, of course, is the goal for everything. But I really have a good respect for the field, and I think it would be really interesting to study. So journalism is my number 9.
Yeah, that's fantastic, especially in this day and age where we know there's such poor journalism. People just, you know, this goes right into the graphic design of just like people selling their souls to just write for the just the dumbest clickbait nonsense.
Yep. Yeah, it's the things you see out there these days are just ridiculous. Or they'll take one quote and put it in the headline, and it's totally out of context from what they're actually saying.
I saw an article written today, not very long, but it said Bills cut quarterback ahead of crucial matchup with Chiefs. I'm like, what? We released Anthony Brown, who was our scout team quarterback, who we brought in to help us, you know, get ready for Lamar Jackson because he knew Baltimore's offense a little bit and he's fast and mobile like Lamar. Like, it's like, guys, you got paid to write that? That's stupid.
Yeah, it's insane. I don't know how people come up with themselves.
Yeah, money's money. Dude, I have great appreciation for animals and I would love to be able to work with especially some of our most rare or our most fascinating. So like being a zookeeper, anything really in like the animal field, whether you're a researcher or whatever, or even like, you know, I mean, a journalist, you could be a journalist who goes and writes and studies, you know, lions and stuff like that. So, but I was like, let's keep it kind of more realistic. Maybe if I would have studied and cared, I could have chosen the profession. I do know a zookeeper at our local zoo, the Buffalo Zoo. It is a girl that went to school with my wife. They were like childhood friends, and we, whenever we go to the zoo, we like gotta look out for her. We normally
that's
run
really cool.
Yeah, but yeah, dude, being a zookeeper sounds really satisfying at the end of the day of just like taking care of animals and helping to spread joy to people. Like seeing kids' faces must be awesome at a zoo.
Yeah, I agree. I'll actually flow right into my number eight off this too because it's similar. I have a veterinarian as my number eight. I also have a real love for animals and a real appreciation for them. And you know, as long as we've been alive, we've been hearing stories in, you know, media, whether fictional or real life, about how pets have changed our lives and animals change the way people feel and help bring out the best in them. And vets are the people that keep them healthy and keep them living for us when we as owners can give them the basics, but they really know the in-depth details of everything. Recently, we faced a situation where my oldest cat had a really bad UTI, and we brought him in right away, and I couldn't believe how quick they were able to kind of diagnose that and figure out what was going on with him. It's fascinating, and it can be a really good comfort to have a great vet in any situation. And people need that when it comes to their animals. They want to know that they're genuinely cared for. So that comes in at my number eight.
I love that. Yeah. Such a tough job too. You know, like you see people on some of their worst days.
Yeah.
It's one thing, man, like to be a doctor and to handle it and see, but like you so much often we put ourselves in a position to lose someone, because we know that when we get our pets, right, that we God willing, we'll outlive 10 different pets in your lifetime, right? A mm-hmm. long time. So you constantly are saying goodbye, and there's always a veterinarian that's right there with you. And I just couldn't imagine, like, it takes a special kind of person. And you know what? You kind of have that heart. I could kind of see you being able to handle it and be compassionate and understanding and, you know, guiding someone through a tough day.
Yeah, yes and no. It'd be really hard on certain days, but I think overall the reward out of it would be that.
Well, I mean, even days that just like when you get to be the hero, but like mm-hmm. it starts off rough, right? Someone comes in and their dog got hit by a car or whatever, and then you're the miracle worker. You're the one that saves the dog. And, you know, then you get to see it goes from the worst to the best. So,
yeah.
Love that choice. My number eight, how about being a paleontologist? Ooh, something that seemed very interesting to me as a child. Those growing up, Jurassic Park, obviously, coming out in 93. I'm 9 years old, so that kind of like formed my opinion on like what a paleontologist is. It's like trying to understand what a dinosaur may have sounded like, or what they may have eaten, or what they may have, you know, what kind of habitat they would have been living in. Like, all that stuff's like so fascinating, because you're going back millions and millions of years ago to a time that no one was even close to recording any sort of history. So they have a very unique job. I think it gets challenging more and more every year as we go by. Yeah, people that tell them that their job is fake and everything they found isn't real. So I think I could handle that. Yeah, go ahead and tell me that my dinosaur tooth isn't real. Whatever. Paleontologist for my number eight.
Man, it's wild that they actually have to go through things like that. They're like, insane. Everybody questions everything this day.
Yep. Birds aren't real.
I hate so much. The turkey you're eating is really turkey. It's just some goblin. Very good. That would be an incredible job to have.
Takes a lot of schooling, I'm sure, but well worth it.
Oh, for sure. Let me see here. My number seven is a very basic one, but it's essential. I would love to be a mechanic. Mm. Mechanics know so damn much about cars, more than I could ever know in my lifetime. I'm lucky enough where the person I look to as my older brother in my life is a mechanic, and is a damn good one. And every once in a while, I'll bring my car over to his house to see if he can diagnose something for me. And the way he just figures something out so quick and tells me exactly what I'll need, or like what he thinks I'll need in a way, is just so, oh man, it's so awesome to me. Because the second something happens with my car, I kind of have some sort of idea. But if it's not the first guess, then I don't know. And you got to kind of figure it out. But having someone you trust in your life working on your car, especially because in this day and age where everybody now is a two-car household, right? It used to be people could get by splitting one car, splitting transportation, but this day and age, you have to have two in your house. So that's a lot of mechanics and a lot of car bills, and you need someone who's going to be honest with you about that, like a good vet too. But I think being able to figure that out, and just the taking apart and putting together of it, is something, you know, as kids who love to play with like Legos and build and things, I think we can all relate to in some type of way. So mechanic comes in at my number seven.
Yeah. And there's new technology all the time, so they constantly are having to relearn their jobs, and different things coming in that they have to understand of how to take apart and put back together. It's a very underappreciated job too, I think. You know,
yeah.
Mechanics not get the attention they deserve.
My wife drives a Volkswagen, and every time we work on something with her car, we learned some kind of new programming thing that it needs to have, because German cars are insane. But yeah, they constantly have to learn on the job or learn on the fly, and you could really screw people up doing that, but most good ones can really adapt to that, and it's awesome.
Yep. Great choice.
Thank you.
I will go with being a history teacher. And yeah, it always was specifically, if I was going to be a teacher, it's always going to be history. I wouldn't be able to do English. I definitely wouldn't be able to do math. I didn't really like the idea of being like a young elementary school teacher. Like that's challenging in its own right. It was really, I thought that if I could be like a fifth to like eighth grade history teacher, that's like a time to like really kind of like grab a kid's attention and see if I can be that one teacher that actually like they don't have to love history, but this, I want them to walk away enjoying that they learn something from it. I don't need them to be obsessed with it like I am, but at the same time, I would like them to appreciate like the whole idea of how do you know where you're going if you don't know where you've been? And history is important for just that alone. There's many other reasons it is, but it's not worth getting into right now. But yeah, that was the first job when I was in high school. And my guidance counselor says, what do you think you'd want to do when you go to college? I'm like, I don't know. A history teacher? I guess. I don't know.
I feel the same way. That's, yeah, you know, and from my background, that was something you and I both gravitated towards at one point. A good history teacher can change someone's life in a really good way.
Mr. Davidson, for me.
Yeah. Yeah. If people can make that subject in particular so fun.
Amen.
Amen.
On to number six.
Number six. I'm going to go with an astronomer here. I love space. I love learning about the different constellations. I loved it as a kid. Growing up and looking at my star theater on my ceiling and learning all the different constellations, learning the stories behind them, learning everything. And what guy doesn't love space, right? We love the idea of planets. We love the idea of rocket ships. We love the idea of aliens being on these planets for some unexplicable reason. Like, we're just obsessed with the idea that there could be alien life out there somewhere. It's a dream job for all of us to be able to do it. So to study space day and night, no pun intended, would be a really, really amazing career path and career choice. And just discovering all these things in this endless galaxy that we have would be really something. So an astronomer comes in number six.
I love that. Yeah. So much goes unnoticed by us now, too, with all the light pollution. Just, we're missing so much. It's one of the biggest reasons. Like, there's several reasons to go to Hawaii because it's beautiful and the culture and the weather and Pearl Harbor. But that's the first things I'd want to do is get up to that planetarium up in the observatory up on top of the mountain. And just because there's like they have no light pollution. There's like a rule, like when it turns dark or even dusk, maybe even they, you know, lights have to be off in the village and everything like that. It's amazing. I'm down, yeah. Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd be good. We'll start our own field.
I don't know if I could grasp it all. That is a field of science, man. I don't know, but I'm fascinated by it. I'll listen. Me too. Here's the one that I think was the one that it's hard to tell, but I felt like I had a knack for it, but I quickly realized I did not want to spend that much time in school. And that's being a lawyer. We got to do a mock trial one time when I was a junior in high school, and I got to be on the prosecuting side, and I loved reading the case, and I knew who I was going to be cross-examining, and it was a friend of mine, and I knew what kind of position I could put him in, and because I kind of knew the kind of person he was, and I loved grilling him when he was on the stand and getting him to back talk on stuff he said and being unsure of what his statement's supposed to be, and it was a blast. We should have had every juror should have agreed with us, but one buddy, Steve Edmonds, just being a jerk, and was like, nah, he's not guilty. No one could sway him. That's what my friend Nate told me. He goes, dude, we should have had like everything you wanted that you went for, but Steve wouldn't budge. I'm like, hey, it's like real life, man. There's just that one person. Now, though, I have a lawyer in the family, going to be. My sister is engaged to a federal prosecutor, and Yeah. But he is insanely smart and much smarter than me. And I don't know if I ever would have made it to be a lawyer, especially because just you had to stay so dedicated in school. You have to take it so serious. It has to be the most important thing in your life. And school just couldn't be that for me. So, yeah, lawyer is something that maybe in an alternate dimension, there is a Brian Finch running around who is a lawyer. I don't know what side I would be. Defendant. Prosecution was fun, but I don't know. I think defendants make more money.
I would definitely be a defense attorney. I feel like Matt Murdock would bring that out for sure.
But he doesn't defend everybody.
Not everybody, but that's the other guy that goes after that prosecutes those people. I love that. A lawyer's an insanely hard job that I would have the stomach to do at all, or the brain.
It's insane. Number five, sir.
Top five. Let's go with a pilot for number five.
Uh-huh.
Man, who doesn't want to fly? And whether it's like, but like we all, when we were kids, were like, oh, if I could fly, that would be cool. And pilots do that same thing now. It's an insanely hard job. A lot of people's lives would be in my hands every day, which is something that is overwhelming to think about. But what a cool job to be able to wake up in a city, fly to a city in the morning, be in another city later on, and like back home later then. Like that's such a cool job to have. And most pilots are insanely good at their jobs. Between the flight simulators that we have now and all the different technology for planes, I feel like it's safer than ever to travel via flying. But there's just so much to love about being in the sky all day and learning the precision of that. That's just something that's always been in my mind that I would have loved to at least give a shot at some point and learn how to kind of like do flight simulator things. You know, it's never too late in life. But a pilot is my number five.
Love that. Yeah. I would not want to be a pilot. It's not, flying is not for me. I do it out of necessity, nothing else. But I do greatly appreciate all those that want to fly and or be a pilot, because that means that there's more money in my pocket for my current career that I have.
Yeah. I'm not the biggest fan of like flying in general, but just learning how everything operates, I think, would be so fascinating.
Yeah. Understatement, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. Before we get serious too much more, I'm going to get super goofy on this one. And here's where I have dictator. Now, when you say the word dictator, it conjures up bad images. But why can't you have a dictator that does nothing but good things? All it means is just one person in charge. But what if all my ideas were good ideas and only beneficial for everyone, you know, in the world around me? My frustration with politics and stuff like that always comes down to, man, if I was just a dictator, none of this would be a problem. I'd take care of this, no problem, which is a ridiculous thought to have. But that's kind of what this thought process was, too, of just like a career. So dictator, influential person in politics, it is something that I thought about of just like, it takes a certain kind of person to go into politics. And I think that's why we don't get good politicians, you know, and I don't know if I would be able to be that person, to be able to twist my morals in a way or, be so, I don't know, easily coerced into things and stuff like that. That seems what it takes to become a main politician in our world nowadays, to be one that actually moves up the ladder. I think the ones that don't play the game don't get moved up the ladder so much. So, but yeah, to be a dictator, but a friendly dictator, a happy dictator. Kind of like the one in the movie Dictator, except for, you know, I won't be killing as many people. You ever think about this? Am I the only one?
No, you're not the only one, for sure. I feel like you're the type of dictator that I would like to be under the thumb of. Like, you'd be a good guy.
Like a king. You know?
Yeah.
A king is a dictator. You just call him a different word.
Yeah. Basically.
There were good kings. Good king once a lot. I heard that in a song once.
Yeah. He was pretty good from what the song says.
That's what they say. All right. Back on to more serious stuff.
All right.
Number four.
Number four. This is a more recent one from over the years, but I would love to be a chef. I love cooking. I talk about it on the show all the time. I love pushing myself to do better and learn different things when it comes to that. But you know what? When I think about it, looking back, all my life, I've really liked to cook. Like, from second grade on, I can remember getting, like, kids' cookbooks from the library and memorizing certain recipes and learning how to make certain things and trying to make some of the things my mom would make. So it's not just something that popped up out of the blue. It's a skill that's always kind of been there. And, man, if I would have known how much I liked it sooner, culinary school might have been in my future. I love learning all the different flavors, how to pair certain things together the correct way, the do's and don'ts of recipes, how to make something better, even if it's good. It's just such a gratifying experience to see people enjoying your food and to prepare food in a lot of ways. Now, I've worked in restaurant kitchens before, and do I think it's the most pleasant job ever? No, I absolutely do not. But I think if I had enough experience and could head chef my own restaurant, it would be a really, really amazing experience to do. So that comes in at my number four.
Yeah, I love that. And that's kind of, I didn't put it down, but it definitely, I think I fall into the same category here where you would consider you have a passion and a hobby in wanting to cook food, right? And be pretty good at cooking a good meal for people that you care about. And I totally get that. That's something that I personally do pride myself into. I think I'm a pretty good cook. Matt says so. At least he likes my cooking, so he gives me the thumbs up. I just got for my birthday from my wife too a legit like carving set, dude. It's ridiculous. It's got like the big butcher block like chopper thing. I gotta learn the names of these. Right, sound like an idiot. I got like a fillet knife. I've got the one that you use to like when you're separating like the fat, the coating on like a rib, like when you're doing gonna barbecue.
Oh yeah, ribs. Yeah.
That knife. So many. It's so awesome. So
that sounds really cool.
Oh yeah, I want to bust it out soon. Number four for me, these next four were all kind of going to flow together in a way. I always wanted to and was close to. I was going to submit an application to join the Scouting Academy to actually take classes on what it means, what it would take to be a NFL scout. Now, when I was going to do this, I already had Laura. I was already married with one kid. And so like the idea of being a scout where you're on the road so much just wasn't appealing anymore. Just not being home just sounded awful. And I wouldn't be able to do that. But in another life, yeah, absolutely. I would love to just fly around the country. Oh, I hate flying. Drive around the country and scout at college football players and building draft profiles and, you know, aiding a NFL franchise and building and putting together a football team. And it's a passion of mine. It still is. It is a hobby of mine. I have not done nearly as much last year and this year. Just so much going on in life, but it's still something every draft season that I remind myself of like, man, in a different time, in a different world, I could have been a scout.
And you know what? Honestly, you would have been so good at that too. Like that, that's a field I definitely could have seen you succeeding in big time. In fact, getting to know you more, seeing how much you look in depth and how much you know about the college side of things and who can really make it into the pros after their college career is impressive. You were the first person this year that I saw when we picked up Ray Davis go, this was the guy I wanted to get. You were the only person I saw that. And he's been phenomenal this season. Like, you have a really, really, really good eye for that stuff.
I will not talk about any of my misses.
We all have those. I mean, you know, I watch First Things First all the time. And Nick Wright last season had been talking about Caleb before he even got in. And now he had to eat it all season this year based on that. But, you know, they got Ben Johnson now, so who knows?
Yeah, well, no. Yeah, it's hard to tell right now because there's so many holes to fill. But I think he's the right mind for it, for that position right now for the Bears. But where they're, I just can't believe that he's willing to go against his boy that many times a year.
You know what? That was honestly the craziest part about that to me, is it was the same division. Like, that's bold. That's a bold move for him to do. Oh, man. All right. Top three already, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go for I want to be a sports commentator for my number three. And specifically, I would love to be a UFC commentator. If you have listened to the show long enough, you've heard me talk about John Anik, who I believe is one of the best sports commentators, period. In alive right now. He is so meticulous on everything he does for the fighters and the way he calls. And I watch his podcast with Ken Florian every week, and you get to see kind of some insight into how he like creates the pay-per-view opens and really how thorough he is with his notes. Like, he uses the same notes for podcasting that he would for a pay-per-view. Like, he's that well put together and that much of a smart mind. And his passion for it gets me passion for the sport. And good commentators that can teach you stuff while you are enjoying your sport and who want to make you better are really few and far between. And it's something every sport needs, right? You need those minds behind the desk, kind of getting you more and more into the action, knowing what to say on the spot, and in those big moments where you have to make a big call. He's just the absolute best. I have so much respect for him, and he would make me want to do that job in a heartbeat. So, sports commentator, but commentator for the UFC specifically.
Okay, I do. 100% could see you doing it. The way that you're on the mic talent, and then paired with your knowledge and your passion for the sport, perfect. Yeah, that one easy. Yeah, totally see that.
I appreciate that. It honestly comes from him, because he makes me want to better myself. Even with podcasting in general, I've learned so many things from him where I know, okay, I'm going to listen to this in the future because this is going to make me better, and this is going to make what I come across, what I say come across a little better. He's just a really amazing talent. It'd be a great job to have.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
And of course, for those crazy knockouts, too, he's had some awesome things to say, so I'd love those.
My number three will be very much closely tied to my number four choice. And not that I'm gunning for this guy's job in particular, but being an offensive coordinator is something that I would absolutely love to try my hand at. I enjoy the idea of scheming. And once again, this gets back into the whole idea of like Do I have the skills and the abilities right now? No, but maybe in a different life, I could have pursued football a little harder, especially once it outgrew me. You know, I was never fast. And so most of my life when I played football from when I was 6 to when I was 15, I relied on just being one of the bigger, beefier kids on the field. I was not tall, but I was heavy and strong. And I, up until when I was like a young teenager, it was still the case. But then it just like kids kept growing. Kids wanted to go to the weight room. And I'm like, that's not me. I'm not doing this thing, man. So football grew me and I didn't grow with it, which is a biggest regret that I have. I think my brother agrees too. Like, we both let football outgrow us and where we could have kept growing with it. Not on the field, but off the field. And plenty of people have made a career by just being a coach or a coordinator or whatever. So specifically offensive side too, I would get my ass handed to me if I was a defensive coordinator. I would be terrible. I don't have the knack for reading and anticipating what to do to counter an offensive scheme. But as far as building a good offense and knowing what to do with skills is something that I think I would have loved to try and do. I was the first person to ever see Chane Gailey coming in as our head coach and saying, I love his offensive mind. I love this idea. I think he's got a great gift of understanding how to get the best out of players. And you know what? He did, man. With very little talent, with nobody's at wide receiver, he put together one of the most impressive offenses in the NFL with Ryan Fitzpatrick. God bless him and everything he's done for his city and being a spokesman for his city. But obviously not the most talented. So that's what I would want. I want to be like a Chane Gailey.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. That's so funny because that's almost how I feel about baseball, where I feel like if I would have played baseball for like one more year, I would have been in really, really great shape and would have loved it even more and probably could have shaped my future. But it happens.
Yes.
Yeah. We choose the paths we choose for a reason.
That's right. All right, we got two left to go here, sir.
My number two, I know this is going to be shocking for so many people on here, but I would have loved to have been a pro wrestler in this lifetime at some point. I love it. It's got all my favorite things involved. It's got stage combat, which is, you know, an art within itself. It's got some martial arts aspects and it's got acting within it. And it's just all entertainment all the time. It's the best. I would have absolutely loved to have at least had an indie career. But if I could have gotten to a point where I had one or two matches in a place like AEW or WWE, it would have been a dream come true for sure. I'm lucky enough to have friends who have made it in that industry. My friend Kevin, of course, in second grade, wrote down when I grow up, I'm a pro wrestler, and then eventually wrestled for every major company in the world, including WWE. But it's such a cool dream because you don't realize how achievable it is until you start doing it. And then you realize like, oh, certain people can make it, but I kind of have a shot at this. Everybody has a shot in a sense. And I wish it could have panned out to the point where I could have done both acting in that. But of course, you have to make choices in life. And that was I had to make the smarter choice when it came to it. But man, missed opportunity. Would have loved to do it. Still would love to do it. Pro wrestler is my number two.
Yep. Yeah. I do know it's something that you have great love and appreciation for, and where you have passion and appreciation, you have a shot. It's so much of what it takes to be anything in this world, of caring about something so much that you would, you know, give up just about anything to be able to continue to do it and to pursue it. So yeah, totally get that one. It's kind of where I am with number two here. I can flip-flop one and two, but I'll leave this here. Sports radio host / podcast host. Obviously, I got my chance with 2-point conversation where Matt brought me in and made me part of the team. You know, I was living out a dream, something I always wanted to do. In fact, it's what I went to college for. I went in for communications for 2 whole semesters before I decided I absolutely hate going to school and being forced to learn math and all this nonsense. And it really quickly realized that, like, okay, well, just not for me. But, you know, the second that I had a chance to talk about a sport that I absolutely love in football on a weekly basis with some really fun people and, you know, pushing a product that was 100% homegrown here in Western New York and with dudes that are equally as passionate was awesome. It's one of my favorite things. And if I was able to do that at a big stage, dude, if a full time, if we ever would have been able to get picked up by a major network, I mean, we were not too much different from like Barstool Sports, you know, very similar kind of, you know, not as sellouty as I think that they are, but at the same time, the passion, the antics, the personalities are all there. So I see myself in another life of that dream comes 100% true.
Yeah, I could see that too. You guys had something really, really, really good. And the only thing it was missing was a backing like Barstool or ESPN or a major sports network. It just didn't have that branding behind it, but you guys really knew your stuff when it came to football, and just your conversations were fun in general too. I could have seen you doing that. I can still see you doing that at some point, getting your own show at some point in life and being able to pursue that dream.
I'm not dead yet. Only 41.
That's right. You never know. Some people start things later in life.
Yeah, it's true. All right, sir. Number one alternate career choice for Dan Torres is?
So this is a weird one because I didn't mean for all three to necessarily be combat sports related, but they all kind of do go into the that category. So I had commentator at number three. I had pro wrestler at number two. My number one is one of the most fascinating jobs in combat sports to me, and that's interpreter. In the UFC, I see a lot of different fighters from a lot of different backgrounds and a lot of different nations. And in the post-fight interviews, to see the interpreters come in and interpret whatever, you know, Joe Rogan or whoever is asking to the person, and then the person say it back and the interpreter say that back to that. But just some of these guys are in there doing 4 or 5 different languages for these fighters, like interpreting for that. And man, how smart do you have to be in order to do that? There's someone I work with who speaks like 6 or 7 languages, some more fluently than others. But it's just an insane feat that I don't know how people have like the space in their head to be able to do that. I am still the goal of mine in life, if anything, is to learn Spanish fluently before I die, right? It's a language from my background. I would have a lot of practical use for it. I would love to learn it. But some of these guys who can speak Portuguese and speak French and speak Spanish and do a little Japanese in there, it's insane how much people can fit in their brains like that. And I would love to be able to blend like that. So interpreter is actually my number one.
I love that. Especially because of the way that you would be able to use it and so many fun levels. Yeah. You could find a field where you get to use it. I mean, dude, like that you could get a job with the FBI because you're an interpreter. You could move to a whole nother country where you would teach English, but then also like you could be there to be able to teach anyone how to speak a language because you're interpreting everyone over to English from, you know, obviously you know every language. Although I would love to know the record for a person that spoke like the most amount of languages and what that number would be.
Yeah, I'd be fascinated to see that. There are some people that probably have the just the brain capacity to be able to just absorb whatever and however. That's fascinating. I'm going to have to look that up.
Very fun choice, dude. Very, very fun choice. Well,
thank you, sir.
While you are going off to be in rehearsals tonight, you can think of me wanting to be an actor. It was so fun that. When I was in high school, being in the plays and the two plays I was in. My director wanted me to do the musicals. And I just was not, I had danced from when I was 5 till I was 12. So like I was danced out, and like I could not convince me then to do anything that had to do with dancing. And so like I would always turn her down, and I know for sure like that's what like snubbed me from getting better roles in the plays. I loved the roles that I had, and I thought I played them up well, with the limited amount of space I had in my acting to, expand upon what she was giving me. But I just love the art of acting. I love going to see plays and musicals, and I love the movies like so much, dude. And just the different ways that you can just emote and just bring to life these real life scenarios sometimes. Like last night we just watched, and I was looking forward to watching this movie with the younger Culkin brother.
Oh, Kieran?
Yeah, he's in this movie called A Real Pain, with the guy from the kid from, well, he's a kid back then, but Zombieland, that dude.
Okay, yeah.
You've probably seen the previews for it.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Dude, both of them absolutely just crushing that. Now, we'll say the Zombieland guy kind of always plays the same nervous, twitchy, anxious dude, but Culkin absolutely crushed it. He was so fun to watch, and it tackled a really heavy subject with them going to visit their grandmother who survived the Holocaust and going to see where she grew up, and they go and visit a camp and everything, and it was like so heavy. And just like that, in that moment, I was like, man, actors are crazy, dude. Like,
so the crazy
ones are so like, I was like, you should have heard my like reactions live, and I was like, Jesus Christ and my God, and like, because I'm like there with them, it felt like it was just like too close to, it was too real, despite it not being fully real. It was awesome. So
yeah, an actor that can suck you into a performance like that or suck you into a story like that is such a cool rare breed. We just started rewatching The Revenant the other day. And that's the one Leo finally won the Oscar for, and he deserved every second of it because of how convincing and how amazing his portrayal was in that movie. Yeah, storytellers, man, they can take you on a really, really powerful ride. It's something that is really cool, but it's not out of reach. So if it's something you're ever in the market for, let me know, because it's never too late.
It's just about time. You gotta have enough time in life.
I know.
I see the way that you're squeezed for time, my friend.
it's a life, that's for sure.
All right. Well, there it is. There is our list. And I got a special treat real quick, if you don't mind.
Please.
Matt has sent in his 10. So I'll get them off here as we say goodbye. Number 10, he would like to be a retro toy store owner. Absolutely.
Ooh, cool.
See that for Matt. That's a great choice for him. He also has an animal related job on here. Number 9 would be a wildlife ranger. Very fun job. He matches you on number 8. You're either 8 or 9 for journalists. He would like to be a sports journalist. He has that at number 8. And then the pair with journalist, he would also like to be a sports photographer. If you've listened long enough, you know, like Matt is an excellent photographer.
It's
a hobby of his, is something he's very passionate about. So I could totally see that, dude. That would be awesome. And then beyond expanding upon that, being an author, Matt would love to be an author. I think he would, his passion for history, I think that's where he would lean. I really see him going in depth on a subject and writing about that. Be great. He matches me with being a radio host at number 5. Matches you being a pro wrestler for number 4. Matches me for number 3 with being a history teacher. Number 2 is what he actually went to college for. He was studying to be a phys ed teacher. And Matt would have made an amazing phys ed teacher. Just, he can just relate so well and have the passion for kids, man. Especially a high school phys ed teacher. Matt would rush the high school phys ed teacher, I think.
He would thrive. He'd be awesome.
And then do you think you can guess number 1? Another subject heavily covered here on eSleep List. And you guys have done many a list involving this subject.
Would it be a video game designer?
Video game designer.
That's awesome. Yeah. That sounds like him for sure.
Yeah. Dude, he absolutely crushed that. Yes. I agree. That's all those choices for Matt.
It's very awesome. This was a great idea for a list, Brian, honestly.
Nice and light, not too in depth. Get to know each other a little more personality. Revealing, I think, to the listeners and to ourselves. And I think it's, yeah, great filler as we have big stuff coming up, because I think Matt's got a fun one for the next one. He also asked if I could ask you if you would be interested in doing a kids' meal toy list.
Ooh, yes. Yeah, that's one we've tossed around before. I would be totally down for that.
Cool. All right. So until next time, you can continue to come to bicbb-radio.com and listen to all the great stuff we have over there. Of course, Dan and his brother are still pumping out shows left and right. I heard big things are in the works with them, though.
Sure. Yeah.
To the next project with that. Continue to listen to my show, Crafting and Drafting. I do with my friends there. It's kind of a sister show of this. So if you have never listened before, you'll find a lot of comparisons and topics and style of it all. Far more vulgar. I'll just put it out there. Way more vulgar, but fun vulgar. You'll love it. And yeah, so continue to support us. Consider to support your friends and family. And till next time, do you even list?